Normal Sentence Stress, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi and welcome back. We've spent a lot of time so far working on the little pieces of English, the parts of stress, linking words together, the pausing that we do in phrases. And now let's start putting some of that together. We're going to be making complete sentences and really emphasizing where we should stress, really de-emphasizing where we shouldn't stress, making sure we put some pausing in and some linking in. So in this audio, we're going to be doing a lot of stopping and going. So get prepared, get your hand out, and you'll need a pen or a pencil, and go ahead and examine the 7 excerpts we have on the handout for you. In order to make this a little more interesting, I know you've gotten used to hearing my voice. I have added some other voices, 2 other voices, in fact. One is Mark, who works with me in the American Accent Workshop, and the second is a family member. And these are actual sentences, actual excerpts from things that they have said. So this is real English, guys. This is it. So go ahead if you have your pen or pencil with the handout and take a look at sentence number 1. Let's do some work here. When I tell you, you'll need to turn off the audio and examine the sentence. The first thing you'll need to do is go through and identify the content words, the words that are going to have some stress. Make sure that you pay attention to any kind of compound nouns. Make sure you pay attention to any kind of phrasal verbs. And make some notes as to which words are going to be stressed, all of the content words. So go ahead and stop the audio and circle any content word you come across. Go ahead and do that right now. I'll wait for you. Okay, got it. Now what I'd like for you to do is go back and examine those content words and decide where do we have a primary stress, a secondary stress, and a weak stress. If you see a primary stress, underline the syllable once. If you see a secondary stress, underline the syllable twice. If there's no stress, just leave it alone. So go back and do that if you would, and you can stop the audio right now. I'll be waiting for you. Okay, very good. Now, try reading this sentence out loud. Be careful of linking the words together. Be careful of the stress. Be careful of the pronunciation as well. Say this out loud and see how it sounds to you before I let you hear Mark. Now let's listen to what Mark has to say.
So an obstacle for me can be self-confidence or an interest in the language and culture in which they want to use it.
Is there anything that Mark has done that you didn't realize as you marked your own paper? Listen one more time.
So an obstacle for me can be self-confidence or an interest in the language and culture in which they want to use it.
Now, a few things I'd like to point out are, notice how Mark said self-confidence, self-confidence. Self is obviously a content word. Confidence is a content word too. We put them together. Is this a compound noun? Self-confidence, self-confidence. It's not, is it? It's simply a description. What kind of confidence? Self-confidence. Something else Mark did is he raised the end of confidence a little bit. If you remember way back when we did an overview of the American accent, I mentioned that sometimes our sound goes up after a pause in order to show a conversational tone. And he could have gone up and then down, but he chose to go up. So when you listen again, notice how he raised the end of confidence. He's not asking a question, but he's telling you that he has more to say. Also notice, want to use it, want to use it. Did he say want to, or did he say wanna? What is the more important verb in want to use? use is. Want to is almost a secondary feeling. It's not a modal, but it's leading up to it. So that's why want to is very commonly reduced to wanna. Wanna use it. And notice again how it drops back down. We don't want to say wanna use it because that's not an important word. It's got to go up and it's got to drop down. So listen to Mark one more time.
So an obstacle for me can be self-confidence or an interest in the language and culture in which they want to use it.
Notice also that Mark said an interest in, what's that? An interest in, why did he say in so strongly and clearly? Is that a phrasal verb? No, but remember how I told you that when we stop to think for a moment, we don't reduce the word? An interest in, and he stopped for a second. He stopped for half a second to think about what he wanted to say. If he wanted to make a complete sentence, he would have said, an interest in the language, an interest in the language. He would have really reduced that in, but because it was the end of a thought group for him, he didn't reduce it. He was thinking about the next words he was going to say. Go ahead and listen one more time.
So an obstacle for me can be self-confidence or an interest in the language and culture in which they want to use it.
Go ahead and read along with Mark. Try to imitate Mark the best you can. In fact, be Mark for just a few seconds. Say things exactly as he says them. Go ahead this time and repeat the sentence with Mark.
So an obstacle for me can be self-confidence or an interest in the language and culture in which they want to use it.
Okay, great. Let's look at the second sentence. Now go ahead and do the exact same thing. First of all, examine the content words. Underline the syllables that have a primary stress. Put two lines under the syllables that have a secondary stress. And remember, not so many do. And then when you're done, go ahead and say it out loud to yourself. Make sure you pause where you should be pausing. Make sure you link where you should be linking. And try it out on your own, and then I'll let you listen to it. Go ahead and stop the audio right now. Now, there's several places you could pause here, but definitely you're going to need to pause where the commas are. Listen to how Mark does it.
They just naturally can imitate or try to copy whatever sound they hear.
Also, notice how can is really small, and the or before try, or try to copy whatever sound they hear. Really nice, short structure words. And also notice the word naturally. Notice how that has one syllable eliminated. Where do you hear the syllable, or rather, not hear the syllable that you see but don't hear? Naturally. Naturally. Notice that you in naturally is not commonly said. Naturally. They just naturally can imitate or try to copy whatever sound they hear. Listen one more time to Mark.
They just naturally can imitate or try to copy whatever sound they hear.
Okay, go ahead and you try. Say this out loud along with Mark.
They just naturally can imitate or try to copy whatever sound they hear.
Now the third sentence is quite a bit longer. Go ahead and look at that. You'll notice some commas in there. That way you'll know you'll be pausing at least. And find the words that you're going to be stressing. Underline the primary stresses, put two lines under the secondary stresses, and then try it out loud. Go ahead and stop the audio. Okay, and now let's go ahead and listen to Mark and see how he would do it.
It's not so easy or obvious to notice the rhythm and the intonation, and therefore trying to think a little bit more in depth about it helps them to try and reproduce it.
Notice all the pauses that Mark makes. Notice how much the structure words have been reduced. Notice how some of the T's have been made into soft T's, almost like a D. Listen to it again.
It's not so easy or obvious to notice the rhythm and the intonation, and therefore trying to think a little bit more in depth about it helps them to try and reproduce it.
He also raised to a conversational tone on intonation. He lifted up that shun on the end of intonation, telling you that he's going on with the conversation. Okay, this time, read along with Mark. Try to do exactly what he does. Be Mark.
It's not so easy or obvious to notice the rhythm and the intonation, and therefore trying to think a little bit more in depth about it helps them to try and reproduce it.
Can you keep up with the speed? Can you keep up with the rhythm? Is it a little bit hard? Notice how some of those words are really fast. Some of them are pretty slow. It's not so easy or obvious. It's not so easy or obvious to notice the rhythm and the intonation. To notice the rhythm and the intonation. That's really fast. In the intonation. And therefore, now, therefore, it's not really a structure word, but it's not a content word. It's just kind of in the middle. It's what we do with a lot of WH words as well, like what, where, why. Some of those words like however, moreover, they get spoken somewhere in the middle. They're not really strong, but they're not really weak either. And that's what happened with therefore. It's not so easy or obvious to notice the rhythm and the intonation, and therefore, trying to think a little more in depth about it helps them to try and reproduce it. Okay, ups and downs. Go ahead and try this out with Mark.
It's not so easy or obvious to notice the rhythm and the intonation, and therefore trying to think a little bit more in depth about it helps them to try and reproduce it.
Okay, very good. Try the next excerpt. This is not just one sentence. This is actually a conversational thought. And by the way, this is very good advice if you want to pay attention to not only how he says it, but what he's saying. Make sure that you find all of the content words, underline the words that you need to underline, and go ahead and say it out loud to yourself. Stop the audio right now. Remember what we do with an acronym? How about DVD? Now, it's stressed because it's a noun, but what are we stressing the most? We're stressing that last D. DVD. DVD. Listen to how Mark says this one.
If you could drop a DVD into your machine and not just listen to it, but try to imitate some of your favorite characters.
Exactly.
Wow, what a great way to improve your rhythm and intonation and the different sounds that you're trying to make there.
Notice how Mark keeps saying instead of and. He talks about rhythm and intonation, rhythm and intonation. And notice how he said, drop a DVD into your machine and not just listen. Notice how small that and is. He said, and not just listen to it. He didn't say to it. He actually blended those two sounds together. Listen, to it. He didn't reduce the two so much. Why do you think that is? He didn't do it because the following sound is a vowel sound. So to, I would write it phonetically as T-U-W, and it is very reduced. That's a schwa plus a T. So T-U-W, schwa T, to it. Listen to it. It's not strong. It's still really weak. It's not as strong as the word right before it, but we didn't totally reduce the two, and that's because of the vowel that comes right after it. Listen to it. Listen to it. And notice the word favorite. That also has one syllable that's missing. Can you hear what that is? Favorite. Favorite. That O's missing there. Favorite characters. Wow. What a. That T is reduced to a softer sound. What a great way. What a great way to improve. And that's another one. To improve. T-U-W. Schwa. am, tuum. Even though that's a content word, it starts with the schwa am, improve, to improve. To improve your rhythm and intonation and the different sounds. So be careful with your and. Try to reduce it. Listen to Mark again.
If you could drop a DVD into your machine and not just listen to it, but try to imitate some of your favorite characters.
Exactly.
Wow, what a great way to improve your rhythm and intonation and the different sounds that you're trying to make there.
Okay, now go ahead and try it out loud on your own again. Now try with Mark.
If you could drop a DVD into your machine and not just listen to it, but try to imitate some of your favorite characters.
Exactly.
Wow, what a great way to improve your rhythm and intonation and the different sounds that you're trying to make there.
Okay, very good. Now in the next three excerpts, we have someone different. And this person, well, she happens to be my mother. And she's talking about various things in her life. And see if you can pick up on what she says. Now, before we do this, go ahead and look at sentence number 5, or I should say excerpt number 5, because we actually have about, what, 3 or 4 sentences here. And see if you can figure out where we should make the stresses. Make sure that you're getting your pausing in and really reduce those structure words. So go ahead and mark it up. Turn off the audio. I'll be waiting for you. Okay, got it. Let's check it out.
Today the weather in Sacramento, California is, well, it's warm. It's almost 80 degrees. It's windy and very sunny, very pretty. Sky's blue.
Okay, notice how 80, notice how that T is really softened to a D. 80 degrees. Now, of course, this is Fahrenheit if you're used to Celsius. 80 degrees. Is this a compound noun or is it simply a description? 80 degrees. Well, 80 isn't stressed more than degrees, so we know this is just a description. 80 degrees. And this is a really nice excerpt because it has a lot of description. We're using quite a few adjectives. It's warm. It's windy. It's very sunny. Very pretty. Now, very is what part of speech? Very is an adverb. So what's going to be stronger, the adverb or the adjective? If you said adjective, you're right. So very, it's an important word, but sunny is more important. Very sunny. Very pretty. And the sky's blue. The sky's blue. What's more important here, sky or blue? If you said sky, you're right. Listen again.
Today the weather in Sacramento, California is, well, it's warm. It's almost 80 degrees. It's windy and very sunny, very pretty. Sky's blue.
Also, notice how on Sacramento, the T is missing. Sacramento. Sacramento, California. Today the weather in Sacramento. Today the weather in Sacramento, California is, well, it's warm. It's almost 80 degrees. It's windy and very sunny, very pretty. The sky's blue. Try it out loud again, along with her. Try to make your sound be exactly as her sound.
Today the weather in Sacramento, California is, well, it's warm. It's almost 80 degrees. It's windy and very sunny, very pretty. Sky's blue.
Great. How are you feeling? You feeling okay about this? I hope so. I hope it's starting to really kind of feel good, make sense, that it's starting to flow a little bit. Let's go on to excerpt number 6. She's talking about a dream car. Stop the audio and figure out where you're going to stress. Go ahead and do that right now. Okay, let's check it out. Listen to this excerpt on what she would like in a car.
If I could have any car in the world, I would want a sports car convertible, and I want it to be, I'm not sure really what color, probably silver. And it might be a Jaguar, or it might be a BMW. I'm not really sure what I'd want, but something along that line, and I'd want it to be fast.
Notice how she emphasized the word fast. Why did she make that adjective higher than other words? Why did she make it really strong? Well, that's because she's emphasizing it. She was emphasizing the word fast, not slow. Fast. We'll talk more about that in our next lesson. But she wanted to point it out. She wanted to emphasize it. Now we go back and we look at some of the content words that she did stress. If I could have any car in the world, I would want a sports car convertible. Sports car convertible. Now, this is interesting because this is a three-part compound noun. Where do you hear the most stress? A sports car convertible. A sports car convertible. Now, if I said alone, sports car, sports car. What word am I stressing? Sports or car? Sports car. I'm stressing the word sports because this is a compound noun. It's a sports car. But once we add the word convertible, now we've got three parts. It's quite interesting. Listen to this. A sports car convertible. Sports car convertible. Where do you hear the most stress? Believe it or not, it's on the word vert, convertible, convertible. Listen to her again.
If I could have any car in the world, I would want a sports car convertible, and I want it to be, I'm not sure really what color, probably silver. And it might be a Jaguar, or it might be a BMW. I'm not really sure what I'd want, but something along that line, and I'd want it to be fast.
She also made a conversational tone when she said Jaguar or BMW. Notice how the tone rose just a little bit. And notice BMW, that's another acronym. It starts in the middle, goes down, goes up again. BMW. A Jaguar or a BMW? I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what I'd want, but something along that line. Now, if you don't really know what that means, it means something like that, something similar to that, something along that line. Notice the word that. Is it reduced? That. This is a word that is sometimes reduced and sometimes not, depending on where you use it grammatically. If you remember when we talked about structure words, we said that gets reduced if it's part of a clause. He's the guy that I love, that. Now, that's part of a clause. But if you're using it to demonstrate something as an article, for example, that man, or in this case, that line, we don't reduce it. It's got to be that, not that. That line, along that line. So go ahead and listen one more time.
If I could have any car in the world, I would want a sports car convertible, and I want it to be, I'm not sure really what color, probably silver. And it might be a Jaguar, or it might be a BMW. I'm not really sure what I'd want, but something along that line, and I'd want it to be fast.
Okay, and the rhythm, notice the rhythm. All those short words are short, the long words are long, so be careful of that. Go ahead and try it with her.
If I could have any car in the world, I would want a sports car convertible, and I want it to be, I'm not sure really what color, probably silver. And it might be a Jaguar, or it might be a BMW. I'm not really sure what I'd want, but something along that line, and I'd want it to be fast.
Okay, in our last excerpt, she's really excited because she's talking about a dinner party that's happening tonight. Go ahead and stop the audio, mark all of the words that need to be marked, mark the syllables that have the most stress, that have the secondary stress, leave the ones that have weak stress alone. You'll know when you get to them that they will be very short and fast. So go ahead and stop the audio right now and do that. And now listen to how she says this excerpt.
Okay, tonight we're kind of having a dinner party and a get-together at my house. My three daughters are coming, two granddaughters also, and we're going to have dinner and dessert, and we're going to play games and talk and laugh and just have a great time together.
And she also says "and" as "an," doesn't she? She says that quite a bit. And so she could say "an" or she could say "un," but she doesn't really say that "d" either way. Notice the words "dinner party," compound noun or description. Dinner party. I'm stressing dinner more than party. It's a compound noun. Dinner party. Dinner party. How about get together? A get together. Get together is also a compound noun. Get is what you're stressing. A get together. As well as granddaughters. That's actually two words that have been put together. Grand plus daughter. So grand is where you have the most stress. Normally when you say the word daughter, if daughter were alone, da part of daughter would be stressed. But since we've connected it with grand, now it slides down into a secondary stress. Granddaughter, granddaughter. Also, there are quite a few pauses in this. Can you hear where the pauses are? Go ahead and listen again.
Okay, tonight we're kind of having a dinner party and a get-together at my house. My three daughters are coming, two granddaughters also, and we're going to have dinner and dessert, and we're going to play games and talk and laugh and just have a great time together.
Go ahead and try this out on your own. Say it without the audio and see how it feels for you. Okay, now go back and say it with her. Try to keep up. Try to keep the same rhythm. Try to make the same stress.
Okay, tonight we're kind of having a dinner party and a get-together at my house. My three daughters are coming, two granddaughters also, and we're going to have dinner and dessert, and we're going to play games and talk and laugh and just have a great time together.
Okay, how do you feel about all this? Is it starting to make a little bit of sense? I hope so. I hope it's starting to feel a little more comfortable. I realize it's not something that's going to happen immediately. In fact, this whole intonation and pronunciation process may take even a few years. I'm not trying to make you feel like it's impossible or anything, but it certainly is possible. But if it takes a little bit longer, don't worry. It's something that takes time to incorporate into how you speak, how you live, how you deal with life. So if it's starting to feel better to you, I'm really happy about that, because this is it. You're starting to really get some of the intonation of English, and this will make a huge difference to the way you speak. So I'm going to give you these excerpts to go over and over, practice on your own, try to keep the same rhythm. That's important. So you really need to reduce the structure words and try to link all of the sounds together. Make sure that you're pausing when the person pauses. And most importantly, get that intonation where it needs to be. If it needs to go up, get it up. If it needs to be dropped way down into the little schwa sounds, drop it way down. So imagine that you and the person speaking are one. Imagine that you are a stereo and you're saying the same thing at the same time. So practice the sentences, and then, very important, listen to other people around you. See if you can notice this intonation with the way that they speak. Notice the pausing that they're doing. Notice how they're linking their sounds together. All of this is going to start to feel very comfortable and natural for you as you really think about it, work on it, and, as Mark said in some of his sentences, imitate. Really, imitate people. We've been encouraging you to imitate DVDs. try to take on the character of that person. You don't have to become that person forever, but for a few minutes, take on the character, see how it feels. Pick up the same rhythm, pick up the same actions, and just see how it feels. Don't worry, you're still going to be yourself. You're not going to change your character or anything, but try it on. See how it feels, and eventually the way you have been speaking and the way you will be speaking will merge together into your good American accent. So keep on working, keep up the good work, and I will talk to you in our next lesson. Thanks, and bye-bye.